Accession number 12824, Mr. G. Forster, Reel 7.
Mr. Forster, Reel 7. After this interlude, when you've been taken up to the line to make tea for the Ardennes, you know, in the Ardennes...
Taken up accidentally.
Yeah. What? Was there any... You got back to...
Bruges.
No more incident, I presume?
No, into the barracks. And after a couple of days, after 2 days, they sent for me and... informed me that I was being transferred from Durham Light Infantry to the Royal Army Ordnance Corps.
Now, how did you feel about that? Because people are very, can be very...
Well, I'll be honest, I wasn't very happy. You know, well, all right, I mean, Durham, I was at Durham all that time with them, and I was going to a new unit who nobody I knew. However,
but there was no one you knew really with the unit you'd met, or I suppose you'd made friends.
That's right, you do. You do make friends, or wherever unit, whichever unit you go to.
So that was the main reason that you didn't know who you were going to.
That's right.
So what happened then? Where were they, the RAOC?
The RAOC, by the time I joined them, they were in Brussels.
And what? What part of them? What section or?
It was headquarters. Headquarters, 16 Vehicle Company.
And why they transferred you to them as a carpenter? You were a carpenter. And
well, I think it was just a case of getting personnel out of these camps, transit camps. There was quite a few. There was, I should imagine, 30 chaps of all different regiments, some Royal Engineers, all regiments actually transferred. Obviously, persons that couldn't be in infantry actions, and were reported. They took us up to from Bruges to Brussels. Reported there and had an interview with the CO, and the Captain Quartermaster, well, it wasn't the Captain Quartermaster, it was RQMS actually. He says, I want three chaps. So he looked at me, says, yeah, you'll do for one of them. And my chap that I know now is John Scar. He was another one that was picked, and another one. And we went to, we stayed at HQ 16 Vehicle Company. Other persons were spread out to different companies, transit vehicle companies on vehicle parks, helping the fitters.
Were they all mostly wounded or...
No, mostly downgraded.
But not usually as downgraded as you had.
Oh, no, no.
So there'd be bees?
Well, yes, flat feet and things like that, you know.
So you were one of the worst?
That's correct.
So what was the job that the CO had in mind for you? The headquarters.
To work in the... distribution. It was a big unit actually. There was 161, 162, 163, 164, 165 in Transit Vehicle Company. That was six in headquarters. Vehicle parks, all big vehicle parks with tanks, armored cars, Bren carriers, jeeps, and they used to bring them from the docks straight to the vehicle companies. However, the
So how many men would there be in a vehicle company? How was it organised? I'm a bit puzzled. It's not a common unit, is it?
Yes, well, it is, because it's the ordnance armament, it's tanks, and tanks that they used to, they had companies that used to go out bringing tanks in from the battlefront and repair them and make them roadworthy and battleworthy. Because don't forget, they were just still in Holland by then.
So, about how many men were there in the 16 vehicle company?
Ooh, must have been 1,000, if not more.
Even though it's called a company?
16 vehicle ROC. There must have been at least 1,000, if not more.
How was it divided up, these 1,000 odd? You said...
In vehicle companies, in vehicle... Some were at Bruges, some were still down...
These 161, 162, they were vehicle parks,
were they? They were vehicle transit parks.
And they were part of 16 vehicles?
Yes.
And a vehicle park, how many men would be running one of them?
Oh, I should imagine about 200, if
And it would
not
just
more.
Be like a field, for instance?
It's a field with hutments on, and tanks, armoured cars, Bren carriers, and not only was it ROC, it was Remy. Remy personnel were all there, mechanical, electrical, all sorts of vehicle mechanics.
And so vehicles would come from England or from the battlefields to these parks?
To these parks.
Would be checked over or mended and or sent out? And
sent out and posted out to different units.
Fighting units.
That's right.
So that's one part of the vehicle company. Were there any other jobs that the 16 vehicle company did?
No. Only dealt in vehicles. New vehicles and old vehicles.
And
tanks.
So the subdivision of the company was the vehicle parks?
The vehicle parks.
There were no other subdivisions?
No.
So what were you on then? You were on distribution?
I was on headquarters.
And what were you actually doing?
I was in the quartermaster stores when I first went.
Doing what?
Supplying, keeping accounts, supplying...
Accounts of what? Sorry, we'll take them one by one.
Accounts of which unit was being sent, clothing, boots, replacement boots and battle dresses, and you name it, we had it in stores.
Wasn't that the Army Service Corps, Royal Army
Royal Army Ordnance.
So you had these vehicles to do that?
We had all the stores, and we used to go to the return supplies depots. People posted in, people posted out. We used to supply them with denim, overalls, boots, heavy duty boots. Well, almost everything. And of course, all the time people were ready for a new battle dress. They bring their old battle dress in, and it was, and that was it.
Were you doing the stores? I may have got this wrong. Are these stores for the personnel, the 1,000-odd personnel of 16
vehicle company?
Not for anybody else?
Oh, no.
Ah, that's
right.
That clears it up for
Only
you.
For our unit.
Because with that many people, it'd be quite
that's
a job
right.
to supply Correct. Boots and everything.
Correct, yeah.
And so you'd get the actual boots, say boots, that's a good example, or battle dress. Where would you get them from?
We get them from the return supplies depot.
Who ran them?
RESC, I think.
So you'd put in an indent, would you?
Indent for stuff from them and collect it and bring it back for the unit.
And you had to keep an account of all?
We had to keep a check on everything we had.
Did forms really have to be filled in triplicate?
Oh yes. Aye. They wanted to know where everything was. You had to count for it because you had a stock check about every month.
And who did the stock check?
Captain Quartermasters.
From your own unit?
From my own unit.
With stores, especially at that stage of the war, I've often heard of there being problems with pilfering for the black market or for other things. Did you have any trouble with people trying to get away with things?
No, not really. No, we
no
didn't.
No trouble at all?
We didn't, no.
What else were you doing? You were keeping the accounts, what else did you do?
Just keeping accounts and distributing stuff to the personnel that came in for exchange of battle dresses and underclothes.
So they'd come to you? You wouldn't go out to them?
Oh, no, they
and
came
where,
to
where were the quartermaster stores?
Rue, I've forgotten the name of the place now. It was in a private house, actually.
In Brussels?
In Brussels.
So, if someone from 16 Vehicle Company...
Well, they're usually transported.
They'd have a chit for, say, some stuff, then
come to you. What they used to do from the vehicle park, they would indent into us for so many battle dresses, so many sizes, different sizes, and they used to bring the battle dresses in, and we used to give them new ones out. So we used to return the old ones to the return supplies depot after we got a lot in. And that was a
general. So you didn't deal with individuals, you dealt with the vehicle parks equivalent of company quartermasters?
Quartermasters for the companies, yeah. Yeah.
And you had no trouble with anybody?
No.
Anything else you remember about your job at Brussels?
No, nothing particularly.
How did you get on with the Belgians, the civilians?
Don't forget they hadn't been long freed. And they'd talk to you. They'd talk to you in a cafe. Not a lot, but they'd talk to you. And as I say, after a few months, we moved from there.
So there was no incidents of particular...
Oh, no,
it was just
no.
A routine work.
That's
for
right,
you.
Just a routine.
Were you working sort of 9 to 5 day or what?
No. It all depended on the captain quartermaster, on the quartermaster.
What was your usual
probably
day?
Finished at 2 o'clock sometimes, you see. If you want to go down into Brussels, go, you're all right.
What would you do for amusement in Brussels?
Well, there's plenty of cafes. There was the Naffy and there was the 21 Club.
What was that?
It was a place for troops, a rest home, a rest for troops coming in from the front. And they used to send them down there, and that's where they could get a bath and a shave and tidy up and get the battle dresses ironed and all sorts of things.
Did you ever come in contact with any of the 50th Div, the 151 Brigade? Because they were in that area.
They were in that area. I saw some of them, especially in Brussels. They used to come back for rests. They used to bring a vehicle load back for rests. And the Highland Div, there was RAF personnel back there. It was.
Was there any trouble in the clubs?
Not that I ever know, no.
So what was your next move?
Well, from there, the quartermaster, he said, "Oh, we're going out tomorrow." I says, "Oh yeah, where we're going?" He says, "I'll show you." And he was RQMS, and him and I went to Antwerp from Brussels.
When was that, roughly?
About a month after we went to Brussels, and. Well, first up was a burgomaster. And we got the keys to accommodation. Unit had moved on. And we got the keys to some houses and buildings for our stuff. And we moved the vehicle park.
Which
the
one?
HQ vehicle park.
Oh, sorry, yes.
Moved them up to Antwerp.
Would the vehicle, the main, I mean 161, 162, 163, the rest of them, would they move as well?
No, they stayed, actually, funny enough. They stayed.
So they'd still be in the Brussels area?
Somewhere down at Ostend, Blankenburg.
So they were spread all over Belgium then?
All across Belgium.
So moving the headquarters didn't make an awful lot of difference?
Not really, no. And we took billets for the officers, billets for the men, billets for the sergeants, commandeered them.
When you commandeered billets, did you throw out, not throw out, but did you, did the Belgians leave, the civilians, or was it empty billets?
Empty. They'd already been commandeered by the military, except one for other ranks billet in a place called Ottergemorelai. And we got the we couldn't get in actually, and we broke in, and it was full. The house from top to bottom was full of books which the German had confiscated from the civilians. There was English books. There was prayer books, Bibles, all nationalities, books from all nationalities. were in this house, so I had to. I came back the next day, and he says, "You've got to get shot of these." And another laddie and I, we went to Brussels, and I thought, "Oh dear!" Went through these shelves. There were shelves and shelves of books. He says, "I want all these shelves down," and The bunk beds will be, the Royal Engineers will be bringing some bedding in that for you, for the lads. All these books out though. And do you know, there was about 70% of the books were Roman Catholic religious books. And I thought, what am I going to do with these? I can't burn these. So.
Why not? I mean.
You couldn't, because it was sacrilege, you wanted burning books. So, after a few inquiries, they told me there was a convent round the corner. So I went and saw Mother Superior and explained to her. And she said, yes, we would love them. And one of the sisters come and had a look. And the next day they fetched a handcart. And there was about three, four nuns. And they took most of them away. I went through and kept the English books. And as I say, the nuns came and fetched all the, well, a hand cart, and they carted about three barrow loads back to their place.
And what did you, how did you distribute the English books? I mean, how many were there? Hundreds or? I mean, I can't.
In the whole lot. Oh, there must have been thousands.
And how many would be English for distribution?
I should imagine about 50.
So some, that would just stay in your unit?
Well, I had some. In fact, I've got them here. Where I brought what the Germans had confiscated. And I brought.
What type of English book? Was it any
fairy
English
tales?
Book?
And it was.
Just English language?
Just English language books.
But it wasn't sort of anything political or religious?
No. Fairy tales books and things like that, kiddies books.
What else do you remember about your time at Antwerp?
I stayed at, we got the billets organised and got a quartermaster stores organised. And
pretty well running the same as it had been at Brussels.
As it had Brussels, yes. And after about, after we got sorted out and things got ironed out, the chappie that did the rations, he did the job entailed post, rations, first aid, and he got posted and asked me if I would do the job. And I said, yeah, I don't mind. Anyway, I did this job.
What did that involve then?
I finished with the quartermaster stores. I still lived at the quartermaster stores. I was still under the quartermaster. But it involved collecting the mail from the from officers, sergeants, and office, the headquarters office, and the billets, taking the mail down to into Brussels, into Antwerp, to the army post office, collecting the unit mail, sorting it out. For the sergeant's mess, officer's mess, headquarters office, and other ranks and deliver it. Then, and after I'd done that, I used to go and get me in then signed for the food rations. Fetch that.
Where would you fetch it from?
From the RESC depot, supplies depot. Collect for probably 80 to 100 people in headquarters. I only collected headquarters rations.
Someone else would be doing the same job for each vehicle
for each vehicle park. And wait out, you had so much, many potatoes for the sergeant's mess and so sort of thing, and wait all out and make it go round. When I finished doing that, I used to see if there's any sick personnel. And if there was, it all depends what they were sick with. Take them to see the MO down in Antwerp, in a utility. And
you could drive then, obviously.
Oh, yes. And also had a civilian driver as well, Belgian. Had a Belgian driver. Well, we had, on the vehicle park in Antwerp, we had about 6 civilian drivers.
Were they working or volunteers?
No, working. Employed by the British Army.
Just to help out?
Just to help out. For some of them did cooking. What civilian in the cookhouse at HQ. I think we had 2 civilians working in there.
So you had to drive the sick in?
Yes, and leave them there. If it's M&D, you brought them, you fetched them back. It all depends. And you're usually finished by 1 o'clock time. 1 o'clock, and 1 o'clock after you'd had your dinner, you'd finished till next morning. We didn't do any duties. I didn't do any duties anyway.
So what else would you do? Same as before? Just going to town? Or?
Just going to Antwerp. About once every 3 weeks, I did duty corporal.
What did that entail?
You went to the men's billets and you slept in the bunk. You stayed in the billets and stayed there all night. 23:59, check round to see everybody was in. If not, you wrote the name down. Had a roll call the next morning when the orderly officer came. And that was you finished.
That's all you had to do.
That's all you did.
Now, I know you were by now a corporal, I would imagine.
A lance corporal.
When had you been a lance corporal? When had you made a lance corporal?
Oh, dear.
You're appointed when?
On the 1st of July, I think it is, yes. Yes, 1st of July.
1945. So after the war actually finished.
Yes, and 3 days, that was on the 1st, and 3 days later, upon orders, paid acting, paid Lance Corporal. And with, war officer orders.
Had the end of the war made any impact on you?
No, not really. It had on the vehicle. It had on the vehicle parks, obviously, because they didn't need so many tanks and what have you. We were in Antwerp when Victory Night.
Was there any celebration?
Oh yes, we went to Brussels. We had a vehicle off the vehicle park and we had a night in Brussels. Well. I had a day in Brussels till about 3 in the morning or something like that.
Was there a lot of drinking or?
Oh yeah, we went round from one cafe to another sort of thing, you know, and everybody was celebrating the end of the war. And we didn't have any problems. We got the vehicle back to where we borrowed it from.
Did you have any other duties as corporal? Did it make any real difference to your life?
No.
You wouldn't be allowed to use the sergeant's mess?
Oh, no, no.
So your life was...
Well, actually, a friend of mine at the time, from Newcastle, he was a NAFI manager. And he was entitled to take... being a NAFI manager, he held the rank of sergeant. And of course, I used to go into the sergeant's mess with him, and in Antwerp, but not like in the unit sergeant's mess.
What was it like, the mess there? What did it offer?
Same as the men's NAFI. They just sat there drinking and talking. And that was it.
No difference then.
No different at all.
So after the war, what happened? Because you. Was everyone keen on being demobilised, or were they worried about going to Japan?
No. It wasn't long before it was VG. Victory in Japan. I think it happened while we were in Antwerp.
Just early August.
That's right. Had another party, and as things went as normal, then just went back as normal, no problems. The unit.
How was the demobilisation organised then?
Well, our group 41C, I think. Yes, I'm almost certain. 41C, I think.
That meant you joined up in 41, and what did the C mean?
It was a release group number. It was the 41 was release group.
So how did they?
They started from different units. 41C, agent service, release group, 41C. We had that before they started, and they worked through the numbers for the release of service personnel. And when your number, they used to send a thing out every month, different release groups. And as it happened, mine dropped on, my final release came through on the 23rd of the 12th of December. It was,
You were released early.
Released on the with that group, with the 41 group, and had to report back to York Barracks. They transported us across to England. Then from England, when we landed in England, we went to, transported us down to York. And when we got to York, it was Mister. we handed in battle dresses, greatcoats, housewife, everything relevant, and give you a suit to fit you. I think, in fact, you're allowed to keep one battle dress. No great coat, but just a battle dress. But all the rest of the things, I think one set of underwear you kept. Robbed on the 7th of October, 1946, at York.
And so you'd been married. You got married.
I was married. I was married while I was stationed at Antwerp on the 8th of June, 1946.
So how about getting a job back in England?
I came back. Of course, I had about 6 weeks leave to come. I had 6 weeks leave to come and. I eventually got a job with a local builder here.
So your injuries didn't prevent you from working?
No.
Had you made a full recovery by then, do you think?
Virtually, yes.
Did you feel bitter about what you'd gone through?
Not really, no. Well, it was one of these things that couldn't do anything about it, and you just had to go with it.
Thank you very much.